Nouvelle Vague could be better defined.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell, thanks to the Hollywood Avondale.
Sitting in crowds, you hear that familiar voice behind you, but maybe you're a little bit too embarrassed to turn around and see if it's the person you think it is.
Yes. Sometimes happens at the cinema, doesn't it, Steve?
Yeah, but look, I did have a great time at Star Wars with the NZSO at Spark Arena on the weekend.
Apparently there was people dressed up in their Star Wars outfits.
There were people dressed up. There was this dude, Steve, who desperately needed to go to the bathroom, so shuffled all the way down a line of people, down a whole row, got out, abluted, and then post that. About 30 seconds later, there was an intermission. So... That was disappointing to not have that information at
Shame
my fingertips.
Steve.
Yeah, that guy. Boy.
A New Hope is a long one, isn't it? It's quite a long film.
Yeah, feels long. Mm. It feels long. I hadn't seen it for a very long time. But tell you what, the first half felt long.
Well, it feels long when there's an orchestra in front of the screen, probably.
Nah. Hey, so Flicks and That, this is where we talk about movies, but also sometimes television as well.
Good.
Because we also do watch things on a smaller screen, and some of us watch the same things on the same screen. I guess I watch my TV on the same screen and watch movies on at home. Mm.
Well, I mean, what's good on TV, Steve? What are we in for this week?
Well, hey, it's New Zealand Music Month. I don't know if you guys are cognizant of this, but it's a month-long celebration of music from Aotearoa. And, we've got the Chills documentary in cinemas at the moment, and as a complete New Zealand Music Month coincidence would have it, Julia Parnell, the director of that film, also has a TV series airing called Anthems. Plays Sunday nights on Prime. The first two episodes have aired. You can catch up with them on the Prime TV website, though, so you guys have not missed out yet. I've been quite enjoying it. It tells the story of New Zealand's iconic hits, but it's sort of not like a chronological, then this happened, then this happened, then I changed to G and decided to write lyrics about going down to the shops to get a box of milk.
Are these just the classic artists like Dobbin and stuff, or is there a bit more flavour to this?
No, it's pretty, well, I think there is a more sort of indie episode coming up, but I've actually enjoyed seeing the Old Faithfuls on screen, because the approach the show takes, like the first episode, for instance, is titled Live and Amplified, and it talks about, it's kind of examining like the live environment. And so one example of that is Peter Ehrlich and Dave Dobbin talking about how they wrote Bliss based on what Australian crowds will like to play to, and then talking a little bit about what the songs like to play to an audience. So it's not just, kind of like a potted Wikipedia history of New Zealand music. There's interesting angles. I don't really like Shapeshifter very much, but I did find it interesting when Tiki Tani was talking about mixing Shapeshifter, and they show him mixing one of their songs.
Tiki Tani?
Yeah, yeah.
And was he an engineer on one of their albums?
He's doing live mixing for them.
Okay.
So he's talking about, like, you know, oh, so in this part of the song, it's like this, and then I do this. So without it being too, you know, it's not too practitioner educational. It's just interesting to watch. That first episode also had some bloody She-Had and some Mutton Birds and Exponents and even some 660 in that. I can tell that some people may be yawning towards their radios at the thought, but I found it quite good. Episode 2 was more about how the alchemy of different things come together to make a good song. So I get the feeling they've done these really long, quite detailed interviews with, you know, music luminaries, and just found a really interesting way to kind of chop them up and put them back together. I've been enjoying it. This weekend is Finding an Audience,
they take on a different theme each time.
Yeah, so it's just slightly different angles on what makes these songs big. Actually, last week,
So it focuses on like an anthem, of course.
Okay, throughout each episode, they may talk about maybe like half a dozen different individual songs. And some of the people are popping up in multiple episodes. Last week was quite good. P-Money talked about how when they released Scribe Stand Up Not Many, people were coming to the record stores asking for the Not Many single, which there wasn't one. It was the B-side. So like, fuck, we better make something fast so that we can sell the same song to people again.
I'll say this. Prime seems to have the music documentary realm pretty well locked up. They do a good job of chucking them out there for people
to watch.
It's
on brand for those guys. Brand.
Really,
so I reckon this is a 5-episode season. So it's got another couple of weeks to go. It's well worth checking out. Maybe it's not for you, but it's probably not as dry, old and dusty as... you know, the list of participants might suggest. Who doesn't love a bit of Ricky Morris or...
No, it's just, when the Steve, cat's if away. We just hark back a little bit and you're talking about the
Peking Man or...
You're talking about the alchemy of certain things. Herbs, you know, every once in a while you get something that's got that magic spark. You know, that also seems to happen in the cinema as well. Every once in a while there'll be like one director will have just one film, which is just absolutely amazing. Say, Napoleon Dynamite or Days of Confused, you know, which are just streets ahead. What do you think are the contributing factors to, you know, just sort of these one-off gems, you know, with movies or with songs or with albums?
Well, I guess the cliche with records is that you've got your whole life to write your first record and then maybe like 6 months to write the next one or use your leftovers. And maybe film can be a little bit like that as well. But, you know, there's a recently passed away filmmaker called by the name of John Singleton, made a film called Boys in the Hood, which, in a complete coincidence, is screening at the Hollywood Avondale this Friday.
There we go. Got a double pass if you want to text in right now. 5395.
What? For real? Shit. What's that text number again?
5395.
A double pass to what?
Boys in the Hood. Tell us more about this film, though, Steve.
John Singleton made this film in 1991. He became the youngest person to be ever nominated for Best Director at the Oscars. He was just 24 and allegedly shot the film in chronological order, and he says
24.
He said that you can see him getting better as the film goes, like it becomes more more confident and creative with the camera work. So maybe the adage of like you've got your whole life to make an album is true, but you probably don't know what it's like to make a movie until you've at least made part of one.
Yes,
I'm gonna say. So you can check that out on Friday. It's a bloody classic. Also on the film classic front, a documentary is coming back into cinemas this Sunday in time for Mother's Day. It's called Merita, How Mum Decolonized the Screen. It's a documentary about the first woman Indigenous filmmaker to make a feature film, which again kind of sounds dry and dusty, but it's a documentary made by her son, who's also an archivist. He goes back through her extensive library of films. She made an incredible documentary about the Springbok tour. If you want that confronting footage of cops with batons smashing people around in the streets of Mount Eden, you can check out Padu. She also made a documentary about Bastion Point, so it was a little bit sort of public enemy number one on the documentarian front for a while. But it's quite interesting watching as her son sort of you know, try and sift through and make sense of her life in a documentary fashion. It's very Mother's Day, so there's a reason for its timing. Funnily enough, they're doing a Q&A for the film, I think it's in Wellington, on Mother's Day on Sunday, and then hopping on a plane straight to head to LA to also present a Mother's Day screening there. The film's getting a worldwide release.
That's awesome.
Merita has been long acknowledged at the Sundance Institute and Sundance Film Festival for her pioneering work in film. So there is global interest in that. I really enjoyed it. It's pretty moving, and to be honest, pointed me towards a couple of blind spots in my film watching. So there will be some archival New Zealand documentaries in my near future.
It's always good to watch that sort of stuff, see what people were up to in the old days.
Yeah, it's weird. It's quite weird and alien in 2019 to watch cops do baton charges and even like evicting protesters off occupants off Bastion Point. You know, now almost everyone would have a cell phone out filming the footage, so rampant abuses of authority would not be as bold. They'd be more circumspect, perhaps. But here, these guys are fucking assholes.
Just going for it.
Yeah,
just going for it. All right, Steve, was there anything else?
Oh, that just about covers it for today.
All right, mate.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. A pleasure.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM, thanks to the Hollywood Avondale.